I take away from my father being the present parent, being there every single day.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast. And with me, actually in person, not on the phone, is Marcus Ogden. We're going to talk about fatherhood and, of course, his great book, The Success Cycle, Three Keys for Achieving Your Goals in Business and Life. Thanks for taking the time, man. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, man? How's everything coming along? Going well?
Yeah, man. First and foremost, congrats on the book. And there's a theme that if my daughters were here, they'd be rolling their eyes. Accountability. I always stress that. I think in today's society, it's hard to find people who are always using accountability. You stress that in your book. You talk about a lot of different things. For people reading this book who are parents, talk about how you taught your daughter accountability and also, too, how you teach accountability for other people in life and in their career.
Accountability is all about you taking ownership of the actions in your own life. So I'm always telling people it's so important that you lead by example. So with both my daughters, I have a 5.5-year-old and a 16-year-old, I'm always telling them it's so important that they need to be accountable for the things they do. But if me and my wife aren't leading by example, then accountability doesn't mean anything because they're going to follow the actions you do, not the words that you say.
I definitely love that. And one of the things that people have attended your talks, talk about how many hurdles you've overcome. I've been to people who've talked about their life experience and all that, but I think the main thing that you have talked about is the hurdles, and I think that speaks to a lot of people. When you talk about from the time from the NFL to now, construction business to now with everything you're doing, what has been like the biggest hurdle for you so far?
The biggest hurdle for me has been overcoming that Chapter 7 bankruptcy. I made a really bad mistake in my business back in 2012. I trusted a client that I shouldn't have, and I got overextended. Spent about close to $2.5 million of my money in less than 90 days. Was expecting to get that money paid back to me. When it did not happen, and I was denied the change when I filed the bankruptcy, that's been the biggest problem I have to overcome in my 39 years on this earth.
When you were going through that, I bet there was a lot of like doubt, right? How did you overcome that?
What I did was, one day I had a pivotal moment where I was a custodian in downtown Raleigh taking the trash out, and someone's trash got on my bare skin, and my clothes, and my body. Came home and I sat there and I wrote my goals out, and that was the turning point for me. Like, actually coming home, sitting down, writing my goals out, doubling down on my strengths, and then delegating my weaknesses. So that's kind of that pivotal moment got me started from being someone who was feeling sorry for himself all the time to someone who put accountability into his everyday life.
Love it. Hearing your story, going to your website, and then of course I'll refer to people's for people to go to your website at marcusogden.com. Just the different stories that you share on there is phenomenal. And I know everyone digests certain things in different medias, especially today, whether it's social media or a movie or whatever the case may be. But when people are done reading your book, what do you hope is like, I mean, there's probably a lot of things, but what is like a number one thing you hope that people will take away from it?
I hope they will get action steps to get their life on track. But what I hope they get the most is a roadmap to create success in their own life. So many people want to achieve greatness, they want to be successful, but have no idea where to start. So what I've done is I put into this book how I became successful as an NFL athlete, a construction company owner, and now a keynote speaker, executive coach, and best-selling author. So basically it's the same thing. No matter what you want to do in life, you want to run a podcast, open a restaurant, be a trainer, it doesn't matter. You apply these three things, it gets you to that point. But I'm hoping people get a roadmap they can create for their own life.
I love that. You know, you give them the keys, but like follow their own path, right? Not just exactly follow everything that you're doing. So that's fantastic. I saw in an interview that you and your brother Jonathan were raised in a single family home by your dad. Of course, we always think about it, it's like a mom raising the kids and the dad's gone, right? Learning from your dad and seeing them, what did you take away from your dad growing up with him, and also how do you apply that with your daughter?
I take away from my father being the present parent. Being there every single day, my football practices, school events. I went to Howard University, came to all my football games in college. You know, when I got drafted, he was there on my draft day. And, you know, with everything, he was at everything of mine until he passed away. So what I want to give to my daughter is give her the same ability, the same feeling that her dad will always be there for her, like my dad was there for me, with both my girls. I mean, my 16-year-old, I mean, her dad is in Taiwan, so I'm full-time dad. I mean, so he sees her, he doesn't see her very often, so I mean, he takes care of responsibilities, but I'm full-time dad, teaching her how to drive, how to, you know, develop the right friends, and she goes take her to work and all this stuff. So I want both of them to know that I will always be there for them, because what I want is I want them to find a husband who will do exactly what I'm doing for them, so they will always be treated the best for their life, they're going to set for their children, they're going to set the precedent going down the line.
Love it. Yeah, especially, like, I have two daughters. My wife, I try and treat her, my wife, the way I want my daughters to find someone, you know, to treat them. Love it. All right, just quickly pivoting. You talked about teaching your daughter to drive. I'm going to be there in a few years. You just shook your head. What should I prepare for?
Great. It's a lot, man. Like, she comes out of the park, she'll hit a curb. I'm like, you gotta keep the car straight, then turn. Oh, I didn't know that. Or, you know, how to stay at the line. But she's gotten a lot better now, but those first few weeks, whew, it was, and my wife won't take her. It's all me. My wife can't handle it. So I'm like, man, this is all me, so it's all me.
Love it. Thanks very much for sharing that. Take me back when you found out you were going to be a dad. What was kind of going through your mind, sir?
Oh, it was amazing. I actually found out I was going to be a dad on my birthday. It was 2013, so I had just turned 32. And I found out that I was going to be a dad. And then my daughter was born in 2014. I was 33. And it was great. So, I mean, it was, you know, well, I was still 32, but I was almost 33 at the time. That's wild. Like, that's off. But yeah, I was 32 years old when I found out I was going to be a dad, which was fantastic. I mean, it was amazing because you go from having to take care of your stepdaughter, your wife, then you add another person, and it was like, wow, I'm actually going to be a parent, be a father, so, which is a great feeling.
Nice, man. Thanks for sharing that. And people reading this book can see the different values that, you know, you got instilled from your dad, but also how you look at life. Talk about the values you're looking to instill into them as they're growing up.
I want them to understand that hard work is key. If they want something in life, they have to go out and earn it. And they have to be patient. They have to be consistent. Because consistency wins every race. Like the tortoise who beat the hare, and everyone else who understands the precedent of, you know, the Chiefs, you know, playing the 49ers and, you know, making it all the way and kind of going through that process, right? It's consistency and perseverance wins the race. I want them to understand that in life. Also, they're going to get knocked down. It's how you get back up.
Yes. Love it. Yeah, that's fantastic. And what is a big piece of advice you'd offer to new dads listening to this?
Be patient. It's a lot of work. It's the moms can sometimes have, you know, they're trying to get themselves back to normal. You're not going to get a lot of sleep. It's a lot of agitation. It's just a lot. It's like an unforeseen, unknown schedule. Because you have no idea if the baby's going to sleep or not, or how they're going to go. Your wife could have a bad day. Like, you just don't know. So what I would tell new dads, just be as patient as possible.
Love it. Great advice right there. And a couple more questions before we go into the Fatherhood Quick Five. Big football fan. You mentioned my Niners losing to the Chiefs. But talk about the transition from college to the NFL. Different guys, look at it different ways for you. What was the transition like? What was, like, maybe the biggest, again, going with the word hurdle again, like, for you to overcome?
The speed of the game. It was tremendous. Going from college to the NFL, everybody was big. Everybody was fast. Even D linemen were fast. So having to adjust to the speed of the game, the physicality of the game, and then having to get, I was always a great as far as training and being in the weight room and all that stuff. But I had to learn how to train differently because the guys I was playing against were training differently. So once I learned that and the speed, I got more acclimated to the speed and to the physicality, then it became easier. It was never easy, it became easier.
Nice, love that. And what do you miss most about your playing days?
The locker room, without a doubt. The camaraderie, like that fatherhood type of bond where you're talking to the guys about your day, practice, you know, what was, like, the latest movies, you know, it's the locker room talk. I mean, of course, everybody misses the game chest, but you can go out and make money, right? But that locker room feel is really hard to get back. And so a lot of guys I know, I hear a lot of the same things, the locker room, the guys, the camaraderie.
Nice, love it. And lastly, is there anybody right now in the game that you definitely focus in on? That you, like, when you're watching the games, like, I'm definitely want to check out that game. I mean, for me, I'm always watching Red Zone and stuff like that, but, like, is there one guy that you're like,
yeah,
sit down and watch?
I mean, that's an interesting question. I mean, I would have to say probably Lamar Jackson. You know, I'm a Ravens fan, so I mean, he's a phenomenal football player, young, great talent, great speed, great vision. He just turned 22, so lots of time to play. And he's also, from what I see, a very good community guy. He doesn't have an ego. He's very respectable. He works hard.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. Unfortunately, guys like Dak Prescott, and again, I don't have anything against Dak, I mean, I'm not a Cowboy fan, but I think Dak's ego's getting in the way. I mean, $33 million a season, you turn it down. Like, what is the problem? Like, you would never have to work another day of your life. Like, 5 years you give to the game, and you get out of there with all that, and you'll get another contract. So to me, it's like, that's the kind of stuff that makes me wonder, why do people feel sometimes they just don't want to take what's given to them? That's a great deal.
Yeah.
I don't think Lamar would turn that down. You know what I mean? So yeah. That's why I like Lamar from his game on the field, great community kid, and then the way he just shows respect to everyone, he'll be playing for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. I love the fact that, you know, Bill Polian and other people are like, oh, I should be a wide receiver, right? And you proved everybody wrong. Speaking of that, too, you've played the game, so you know this, too. The dude balled out in his second year, right, Lamar?
Yep.
But you said, like, he's like 21, 22. It's going to take a while for someone to succeed. So to me, as an outsider who's never played the game, but a fan of the game, love to see what he did, right? And everyone's like, oh, he didn't, you know, he choked in the playoffs. He's a young kid, right?
Young
so
kid.
What do you take when you hear, especially the media, being like, oh, he, you know, he didn't show up in the playoffs?
It's a money quarterback. Let them go out there and see how hard it is. You know, when you got playoffs on the line, and you got these guys who are 6'5", 250, 260, trying to barrel down and hit you in the face. You know what I mean? And then, like I said, he's young. I mean, he's going to be okay. I mean, you've got guys like, who I don't have a problem, like Rivers, who's never won a Super Bowl. You have guys, I mean, you have some guys that have been around that have not won anything. And Andy Dalton, what does he want? You know what I mean? So, like, why are you beating up this young man? He's 20, he just turned 22.
Yeah.
And has all this career ahead of him. He got beaten up. Okay, fine. And he's been in two seasons, two playoff games. He's lost two and won one. Okay, fine. He'll be back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally agree with you. Thanks for sharing that. Now we got the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie right now is what?
Elf.
Nice.
I love Elf.
Is there a band or a song that you guys are dancing to right now, or is there a band you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to at a certain age?
A band we couldn't introduce ourselves to? Not really, because, you know, my wife does Zumba, so not really band type music and all that, so not really would say there's a band.
All right, cool. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Disney.
All right. Favorite ride at Disney?
We go Splash Mountain.
Nice. Good, love it. A favorite moment of your playing days in the NFL? It's probably so hard because there's about a lot of highs. Do you have one?
I was my first movie playing against the Minnesota Vikings in Viking Stadium, my first game as a rookie, and having all the fans not like us, and, you know, people wanting to hurt us, and all this type of stuff, and it was a great experience, and that was my first welcome to the NFL moment, and I'll never forget it.
Love it. And lastly, what are the top three words you hope your daughters would use to describe you as a dad?
I would hope they would describe me as caring, loving, and dependable.
Nice. Great words right there. People, make sure you follow Marcus on Twitter at Marcus_Ogden. Go to purchase his book. We'll put up links, and also go to his website, MarcusOgden.com. He's got a lot of great things that he shares and also a lot of speaking dates. But thanks for the time and continued success, sir.
Appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.